I'm here at Northumbria University with a group. We've just done a tutorial on creative writing. We're all studying with the OU. As some of us, I believe, have done courses before. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Why have you chosen to do Sue?
Well, I found out when I was 60 years old that I was dyslexic, which answered the question as to why everyone thought I was sick at school. And I've never been able to do maths. And as soon as I had the diagnosis, I thought, well, I'm going to stop worrying about maths, which is what I can't do, and start concentrating what I can do, which is creative writing, or at least that's what I want to do. And so I just decided to take it as far as I could.
So in a way, was it sort of to liberate you from some of those labels that you'd had in the past?
Yes, but to prove to myself that I was capable of doing it.
Yes. Joan, you sort of mentioned a similar sort of thing earlier when we were chatting earlier.
Yes, I have a late diagnosis of dyslexia, and I struggle.
And is that linked into why you study, or is that something else?
I'm actually finishing a degree that I started many years ago as an adult learner. The stress of learning and in exam situations brought on seizures. This was a completely new thing that started when I was about 40. And so I was continually struggling against knowing that I had a deadline, but knowing that the deadline would bring on a seizure. So I'm doing this now with the OU in order that I can make life easier. And hopefully I will succeed in finishing this degree, albeit maybe with a Zimmer frame.
What about you, Barbara? Do you find that sort of exam pressure and things like that, has that played a part in your choices or your past?
The exam is a big pressure, but I've done two.
Have you?
Yes, and they were fine, not as bad as you're expecting them to be. You know, if you've done enough work, you possibly can get through.
Actually, a complete diversion, but it's something I find really interesting about what's happening with GCSE education at the moment. They're going to switch completely to exam-based and less on coursework. That females struggle much more with doing exams and are much better at coursework, where often boys are far better at the punch ball of an exam and not as good at coursework. Would that be your understanding, Pauline?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's it's like going back to 1950 education system. Well, the 1950s was very good for those who were more able, but a disaster for millions of kids who kind of couldn't pass the exams, couldn't cut the mustard.
I should just say that Pauline Hughes is our tutor here, so that's why I looked at you as a sort of more of an expert, perhaps. I don't know if anyone else has got a teaching background or Pam?
I am a piano teacher, yes. But just going back to what you said before,
yes,
about why I went, I realised when I enrolled for this 4 years ago, I went through a cupboard and I found countless piles of OU material where I'd ordered it, thought about it and put it away. And that happened, there's about three lots, a huge amount of tree forests there. And it obviously, for me, must have just been the right time to do it this time. And it was a lot to do with my daughter, my only daughter, being about 13 and just basically not needing me anymore. You know, and that was quite really difficult. And she's sort of back again at 17, nearly 18, and she's a friend. But at the time, she just wanted to be with her friends and everything. And I felt, I think I needed something of my own. And I remember signing up for it and never... couldn't remember the last time I felt so excited about this course starting. And now I'm into year four. Got two more years. Two part-time jobs, so I fit that in between, right in the middle of it, really.
And do people find that that's the benefit, that they can juggle other things around studying with the distance learning?
Definitely. Yes. I couldn't have done it when the children were small, when I was working. I need plenty of time.
And space. We're all doing a creative writing module. And is anyone doing two modules? I noticed on the forum people saying, oh, I'm just about to do my eighth one simultaneously. Oh, I can only do one.
You do one at a time.
Yeah. Over six.
That's over 6 years,
over
isn't
six
it?
6 years.
That's got to be a wonderful sense of achievement when you get to the end.
I'm 59, determined to do before I was 60.
Yeah.
But my daughter's also just signing up for, she's hoping to start at Northumbria in September doing English literature and creative writing.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Ah. And I think the work that I've been doing literature over the last few years has encouraged her in her writing. she's had a lot of essays to proof. And, you know, when she was 15 and 16, and she's been very good at that, actually. And I don't know if that's my adult learning has impacted on her choices.
It must be quite a good role model for our children, that they see us wanting to learn and hungry to learn still, do you think?
Yeah. Well, I went back to do a master's in my 40s. I had been a terrible student when I was an undergraduate, a very naughty girl. In my 40s, I just decided and make things right. So I went back and did a master's in evening classes over 2 years, 2.5 years. Wow. When my boys were teenagers then. Actually, they were really difficult, so it was kind of escape from then. It was really hard working full time with teenage kids. And but after 2.5 years, I did manage to do it. And it was a terrific feeling of achievement.
Absolutely. Could be a lot. It's just doing the thing at the right time in your life, isn't it?
Does anyone feel like they've got something to prove to themselves or to the outside world?
That is why, Joan. When I had my fourth child, when she started school, I passed my driving test. But I can only do one thing at a time. I thought, because I left school with no qualifications at all, and so I did an O-level, and then I went on to do 2 A-levels, and then I went on, but unfortunately I started having seizures, so it slowed me down a little bit, but I'm halfway there now.
But you're still, despite all of those things, you're very clear about what you want to do.
But the thing that surprised me more than anything was, it was strange to me to hear people and to hear myself using words longer than the small words you use when you have small children.
It's a breaking out of that mother role.
Absolutely. And people called me Joan, where I hadn't been called my name. You know, I had been mother. You just fit into that role. It's an identity thing. And then it dawns on you, no, I am somebody else. You know, I am somebody apart from being a daughter, a mother, a wife. And it's great to be able to express yourself.
Gosh, so the power of study. What about you, Barbara? Is that your experience of study is breaking out, or do you have a particular goal? Or
I'm retired, so I can't say I don't have enough time. But I can't remember not wondering if I could get a degree. And I was about 18 when I went to college on day release from work. And that was the first time I realised I could pass exams. And I just wanted to, and I've waited till I retired, and I'm doing it now. I love it. But it's for myself.
Yes.
It's really for myself, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was never felt clever or looked at as clever.
What about you, Pauline? I mean, now you teach on this. I mean, how many years have you been doing this creative writing OU course?
The OU course started about 6 years ago, and I have taught on it from that beginning, 6 years. I hadn't had anything to do with the Open University prior to being recruited to teach on it, and I did think that the teaching materials were absolutely wonderful. I think it's the best book on creative writing that I've ever read, and I've read a lot.
This is what we all call the BRB, the Big Red Book.
So the Open University is very, very good at developing materials that can be delivered in this way. And I do find it is extraordinary, the people you meet who are changing their lives by this like slow, methodical, working their way through a module a year or 2 modules a year. And I think it's extraordinary. I think it gives you sort of faith in people, really, that they can change their lives and change themselves. I'm a bit worried. The Open University was set up under a Labour government, late 60s, and it was always envisaged as a way for people who'd missed out on education for all sorts of reasons to be able to get an education, get a degree. And it's always been subsidised so that it was at very reasonable prices. But the current government is forcing the OU to put all its prices and charges up so they're more on a level playing field with other universities. All the students I've met over the 6 years, well, 90% of them are people like yourself who, you know, are not, who have lived a life, have had children, have maybe retired, maybe have had not very well paid jobs, all sorts of, they may have had health issues, and it's a way of people, you know, fulfilling that kind of dream, and they couldn't do it any other way.
That's been part of it, that when I started doing it, I just thought, this is for me, and it's just the price of a season ticket or a year's membership at a golf club or something like that. But the world that's opened up, it's been absolutely...
Yes. Amazing. But what about creative writing, Barbara?
I very vainly thought poetry would be really good for me, and I'm finding it so difficult, but really interesting.
Sue? Probably not enjoying it as much as I thought that I would. I have a course overlapped with it, because I didn't get a break during the summer. It's been so challenging, but I've learned such a lot, it's been worth it.
Jane?
I think the OU is a very supportive environment, and I have a tutor now who comes to my home once a week.
That's brilliant.
And she helps. I have very, very poor working memory, so it's a struggle. But when you get there, the sense of achievement is just great.
It's amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's also that I could sit down and think, well, I've lived a life and, you know, four kids and so on. By digging deep, you do find that you do have a lot to say.
Yeah. I think a bit like what Joan was saying before about identity, that's been for me probably the best thing, that I've sort of reinvented myself as a person who is not just going to be a mother now, or, you know, a daughter or a wife. And having control of the structure, so the excitement of pre-reading in the summer, trying to stay ahead a week or two if possible, and looking ahead and planning all the time, but then knowing at the end of May, June, you've got 4 months off as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're in control, you've got your whole life spread out in a line like that over an academic year. And that's a great sense of control for me that I really like.
Pauline, have we all got a novel in us? Or who was it who said we may all have a novel in us, but some of them should never be written?
I don't know who said that. I do think it's amazing how much people can develop their writing styles over a period of, 9 months? I just think it's extraordinary that the range of different sort of subjects and topics that emerge in people's writing, the kaleidoscope of different voices and experiences.
And what about the idea that creative writing courses churn out a particular sort of writer?
Well, I think that's true to a certain extent, particularly in real workshops, in the classroom, on writing to a kind of correct template, or writing within a given matrix.
It's certainly a charge that's been levelled at, say, for example, the UEA's creative writing,
yes,
MA, and they produce certain sort of kind of writer.
Yes, I think there probably is an element of truth in that, but I think someone who has a real gift and is going to get published, and it is extremely difficult to get published in today's world, will learn what they have to learn when they're in situ, but they will give their own spin on what they're writing at the end of the day, because in order to get published, they will have to have a fairly individual voice. If you're teaching creative writing, you are thinking about this as a craft that you can develop in the people that you're working with, your students. So you are kind of, in a sense, covering the different measurable elements of the writing. But at the end of the day, if someone is an original, they'll do what they'll do.
Have you ever had that a voice, seen a piece of writing and thought, oh, hello?
The students doing the English degree have an option if they would like to do some creative writing. And I had a young woman, and she was from a really tough background, because it came out in her writing, because she wrote about a world that she knew. But there was just something about her voice, the way she used language, which was very striking and quite unusual. I did encourage her a lot. But when it came to the end of her degree, she got a first, because she was very bright as well. She came to see me to ask me, what do you think I should do? Should I go and do an academic master's, or should I go and do some more writing? I suggested that she go and do an academic master's. How else was she going to make a living?
Mm.
She'd have been doing horrible part-time jobs to have a roof over her head while she was writing, with no guarantees at the end. So I thought, if she has some way of making her living in teaching, I'm sure she will come back to writing at some point.
Does anyone here have ambitions to write, to publish? Just, yes, Sue?
Yes.
And that, is that one of the reasons, are you focusing around creative writing
it's
courses?
It's the only job I've ever wanted to do.
To do.
I don't know whether I'm any good at it at all. I suspect that I may not be, but we'll just see how it goes. Just take it as far as I can.